Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning, James. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks for joining us. Now, this new report paints quite a bleak picture for foreign workers who attempt to recover their unpaid wages. For every 100 underpaid migrant workers, only 3 report to the Fair Work Ombudsman. So what is actually preventing these migrants workers from coming forward and reporting being underpaid?
I think that there's a few things. Migrant workers are reluctant to come forward in the first place, to take any sort of action against wage theft. But I think not for the reasons that we would have thought. So people often assume that migrant workers just won't come forward no matter what because, of fears or lack of understanding about what to do. But our survey paints quite a different picture on that front, for instance. I mean, even though it's true that very few actually came forward, 1 in 10, as you said, most who acknowledged that they were underpaid actually said that they were open to trying to claim unpaid wages. I think the other misconception is that migrant workers wouldn't report wage theft because their English is not very good or because they come from a different legal culture or don't know minimum wage rates in Australia. But again, we actually found that the reasons that people don't come forward were different. So in fact, Asian migrants were the most open to taking action. So it's clearly not a sort of a difference in legal background or understanding of the system in Australia, since those systems can be quite different in Southeast Asia. Mm. And also the vast majority of all of the migrant workers in our survey who were underpaid, 3/4 of them actually knew that the minimum wage was higher than they were earning. So instead, there are actually rational reasons why people aren't coming forward. 1/4 of the international students and backpackers were afraid of losing their visa, and that may be a really legitimate fear. And close to 1/2 didn't try because they didn't know what to do. And then many also said that they were pessimistic that they would actually ever get their wages back. And that's the other part of this story. So to be honest, that pessimism is warranted.
Yeah, absolutely. So how does wage theft affect these workers who are actually unable to report?
Well, I mean, it obviously creates a culture of impunity for wage theft in Australia. It leaves those workers working very long hours on very low wages. And of course, international students also have the added burden of trying to pay international student fees in this country, as well as supporting their lives here, sustaining their lives while they're here. But I think that it means that unscrupulous employers continue to exploit people because they know that the workers won't complain, and they also feel that even if they do complain, only a small number of employers are going to face any consequences.
Right. And I guess going back to the point you brought before about the study found that migrant workers from Asian countries are more likely to be open to recovering wages rather than people from Europe or other places as well. Why do you think that is, that they are more open and the other ones aren't really open to recovering their wages?
Look, it's hard to say. And we certainly didn't ask, drill down in that detail to the reasons why people didn't come forward. I mean, we found that actually the actual amount of underpayment didn't affect how open people were to coming forward. So it's not necessarily that those workers were earning less than backpackers or international students from, say, Western countries or from English-speaking countries. It might be that among those workers, they actually have less family resources behind them, and they need, they are much more dependent on those wages, and so they're more motivated to try and actually claim their rights. But as we said, it wasn't because, they didn't know their wages, and it wasn't, and clearly English language or just lack of familiarity with the Australian system weren't barriers.
Yeah, right. Okay. So you did mention, a few different things which people, which stopped them from reporting, such as fear of losing their visa or fear of losing their job and a few other things as well. What changes need to be put in place for migrant workers to feel, safe about reporting underpayment, as well as being able to, find out for themselves how they can go about reporting it?
Well, so again, I think you're right. There's two things. The first is that in terms of the significant barriers that stop migrant workers from coming forward, if it's that they don't know what to do or fear of losing their visa, those can be quite practically addressed. So there's a good news story there. We need a process that spreads the word to migrant workers about what to do, and a guarantee for migrant workers that if they report wage theft, their visa won't be jeopardised. But then the other part of the story is about the poor results that many migrant workers get when they do, the very few who do come forward. And that is far more difficult. I mean, I think that suggests that we need a new or better process that enables migrant workers to actually claim their wages quickly and simply. And we need much better resource support services, you know, for instance, community legal centres and unions and so on, to actually support them to do that.
Right. So what kind of, I guess, institutions would be enable us to be able to get further protections and more of a, I guess, guarantee on protection for these people wanting to report their underpayments?
Well, look, I guess at the moment there's roughly three or four possibilities in terms of what you can do. You can get help from a union, but of course for these workers, I mean, unions find temporary migrant workers very hard to organise, you know, partly because they're only here for a short period of time. So most of these international students and backpackers aren't members of unions. You could try and access free legal advice in order to take a matter to court, but that's also extremely limited. And so migrant workers just aren't able to be able to get help to articulate their claim in court. The other big avenue in order to try and recover your wages is to go to the Fair Work Ombudsman. And the Fair Work Ombudsman has made tremendous efforts in recent years to bring some high profile cases against exploitative workers. And also they do prioritise and see migrant workers as a vulnerable population. But the trouble there is that they're just really not set up to deal with individual wage claims on a very large scale. They're not a workers' advocate. And they also then go on to investigate only a very small number of claims because their approach is strategic to try and bring high-profile cases that set an example in certain industries. So that means that for most migrant workers who try to approach the Fair Work Ombudsman, it's too hard and it may not make sense to try to recover their wages through the Fair Work Ombudsman. I mean, so, you know, of the over 2,000 migrant workers in our survey who knew that they were being underpaid, only 3% contacted the Fair Work Ombudsman. And then more than half of those actually didn't recover any of their wages. So you can understand then from the migrant workers' perspective that it may not sort of be worth the significant time and effort and perhaps risk of losing their visa to try and do anything to address the wage theft that they've experienced.
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of barriers that are definitely probably preventing or disencouraging them from going forward and getting their wages back. I guess from another angle, what can Australian citizens who actually witness a sort of wage theft, what can they offer migrant workers themselves?
Well, I mean, I think that it's incumbent upon everyone in a workplace, if you're talking about colleagues, to ensure that employers are observing minimum wage rates for everyone. And obviously paying temporary migrants less than the minimum wage, you know, drives down wages for everyone in particular industries or even in a particular workplace. So, you know, I think that it's important to be organised and, you know, and represent yourselves as a group if there are issues in the workplace that you've come across.
Yeah, absolutely. Power in numbers is always the case in that.
Exactly.
In there. So thank you so much, Laurie, for joining us and telling us a little bit about the study that you have conducted. It's very thorough and it's, I guess, extremely revealing as well. So thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.